Well, it's good to be back. I was away for an Easter break that I usually take each year. And by the way, I just learned I wasn't at the last session meeting. I had Paul moderate that meeting, and he just let me know that we have one more Sunday for the student fundraiser. And so next Sunday when we have the graduation Sunday, that is the last Sunday of the fundraiser. And so I wanted you to know that. But we had a chance, Joyce and I, to travel to Tennessee and see most of my family who were there, my mother, stepdad, and a younger brother, older brother. And my younger brother, Danny, is doing very well. His nutrition levels are the highest they've been in 5 years. And he just went home with a death sentence from the doctors that they did not see last fall how he would get through the infection. And he is doing very well. He was bedridden for some time, and so he's taking a lot of physical therapy right now to get good movement and good range. But we had a good visit. Then we traveled to Pittsboro, North Carolina, to visit with our older son, Will, who is there working for Chatham County doing budget planning. And it's just amazing, that area of North Carolina, which is close to Raleigh, it's about 40 minutes away, is growing like Topsy. And every time we go up there now, it seems like there's something new being built. But it's a beautiful area, and we had a good visit there before coming back this past week. So anyway, that's an update that I wanted to share about our goings-on. The message for this morning is a sermon for Mother's Day about loving into life, or loving to life. And I've chosen as our reading the passage from the Gospel of John. It is a passage about Jesus on the cross, and it references something that Jesus says to his mother. The soldiers in our reading had just crucified Jesus, just nailed him to the cross. They took his clothes, and they were casting lots. They were gambling to see who would take them, especially the tunic. And our reading begins at verse 25. And this is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we come before you this day, having read your scriptures, speak to us a special word about the role of mothers and the challenge of motherhood and parenting. And we pray this day you will pour through us a blessing that we may use in our lives and in our families. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, I said this past Thursday during the live streaming of our Presbyterian Women's National Study entitled What My Grandmothers Taught Me, that this has been a marvelous study this year. We have been looking at the five women that are listed in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, Jesus' ancestry, and there are five women listed in that long list of begats. And there is only one woman mentioned in the New Testament, and that woman has been Mary, the mother of Jesus. And two lessons, the last two lessons, were devoted to Mary. And Mary, of course, who is the mother of our Lord. And we noted in both of the lessons on Mary that the way that she responds to the angels announcing that she would have this miraculous birth about the Savior of the world, Mary responds this way to that announcement: "Let it be with me according to your word." And we noted in both of those last two lessons that Mary really serves as a model of discipleship. She is a model of faith, and so many people look up to her in the world. She is to be honored, no doubt, even in the Protestant church. And many women look up to her. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is also, as many of you know, is often referred to as the mother of sorrows. And so many people identify with her because they, as mothers, have sorrowed as well over a child and over difficult circumstances in life. And so we honor Mary on this Mother's Day. And the Bible here records in our reading that Mary at the time Jesus was crucified, was standing near the cross. Obedient she was, a model of faith and discipleship. She followed her son and her Lord to the very end at the foot of the cross. As his mother, she had brought him into the world. She had raised him. No doubt, it would have been interesting raising the Lord, wouldn't it? And like any mother, she knew her child. And now here he was. He hung on the cross. And Mary must have been amazingly courageous because she was standing there. She must have had incredible courage. She could have done other things. She could have acted hysterically. She could have run away in terror. She could have fainted. But there she is, standing there. And then we read in the passage that the beloved disciple was there. John was there. Only John. All the other disciples had fled. They had deserted Jesus, all except John. All of them, for the most part, were in hiding. One we know by tradition was at the end of a rope who had betrayed him. But then the next words we read in Scripture, I find these words to be incredibly moving. They're very simple words. They tell us that when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing there next to the cross, that Jesus said to his mother at that moment in history, he said, "Woman, here is your son." And he said to John, "Here is your mother." Here was Jesus near death from the floggings, the whippings he had endured. We talked about that during Holy Week, how Simon of Cyrene was forced by the soldiers to carry his cross because Jesus was so beaten he was near death. And then he was crucified. And he managed in some way to push aside his own pain and remember to provide for his mother just before he died. He was able to give her the comfort of a new relationship, someone to care for her. I think it's important for us to note and to remember that the relationship between Jesus and his mother, it seems at least on the surface to be an unusual relationship, no doubt, the mother of our Lord. But the relationship between Jesus and both of his parents, for that matter, seems at least to be strained at some point in the Scriptures. You remember, don't you, that when Jesus was 12 years old, they were on that pilgrimage to the Holy Land. They were going to Jerusalem, the holy city, during Passover. And you remember that in that trip, Jesus became separated from Mary and Joseph. And they looked frantically for him for 3 days. And finally, where did they find him? They found him in the temple, amazing the priests and the scribes. And when they finally found him, after 3 days, he didn't apologize at all. He simply said to them, "I must be about my Father's business, and I must be in my Father's house." That's what he said, no apology at all. And in that particular story, Luke adds these words, "Mary and Joseph did not understand." They were puzzled. Remember as well that the custom was in those days that when the father of a family died, the eldest son had the responsibility to care for the rest of the family. And so when Jesus' earthly father died, Joseph, his stepfather for that matter, when he died, it would have been Jesus' responsibility as the eldest son to care for his family, for his mother and the rest of the siblings. And for a time, we know that Jesus did that because we read in the Scriptures that Jesus became known as Jesus, a carpenter in Nazareth. And so he stayed home for a good bit of time. But there came a point where Jesus left home and became a great prophet, a great teacher, a wandering preacher. And this would have left Mary with the responsibility for the home and the rest of the family. And no doubt this would have been hard for her when the eldest son left home. And he did. The Scriptures also record that Jesus returned only once in 3 years to visit his mother. only once. And as it turned out, it ended up being somewhat of an unhappy occasion. In fact, there was an old saying which went like this: a prophet is without honor except in his own country. And on that occasion, when Jesus visited after 3 years, he used that particular saying: a prophet is without honor except in his own country. And he added these words: and among his own kin and among his own house. Wow. I imagine those words would have stung his mother's ears, don't you? Perhaps when we think back at our own lives, perhaps there are words that we have said at some point that would have stung our mother's ears or perhaps our parents' ears. Then there was the time, don't forget, when Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people. He was teaching, and a man came up to him and told him that his mother and his brothers were outside and they wanted him to come out and speak to them. And Jesus, on that occasion, we are told, he seemed to respond rather brusquely to that request, because what he did was, he said, in fact, he asked a question. In his teaching, he looked at them when he learned that his mother and brothers had asked him to come outside. He said, who are my mother and who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and said that, these are my mothers and my brothers. He was delivering the message that he had stepped now into a much larger family. He was a part of God's family, and all that he met were a part of that family that he welcomed. And so it seems strained, that relationship between Jesus and his mother at times, at least on the surface to us when you read the scriptures, it seems that way. And you and I know that sometimes there are great strains that can come in family relationships as well. Sometimes they can be difficult. And so the relationship between Mary and her son, Jesus, was not always, it seems, full of sweetness and roses and Mother's Day cards. However, don't doubt this at all. Don't doubt Mary's love for her firstborn. It was without no limits. Nothing could stop it. And in our reading, we are faced with the fact that she was standing there at the cross courageously. No doubt she was risking her life to be there, because if Jesus had claimed to be the Son of God, then what did that make his mother if they were to seek her out to punish her or crucify her as well for blaspheming? But her love for her son could not be stopped. And on this Mother's Day, I want to invite you to let that story about Mary, the mother of our Lord, let it just wash over you today. And think about her great love for her son and how she stood there at the foot of the cross and watched all the suffering that was heaped upon him and the sins of the world. Let that just wash over you. I have to say this morning on Mother's Day. You know, most of our homes today are loaded with more conveniences than we could ever imagine possible. And yet, there are way too many homes in our communities, are there not, which do not have a unifying joy, which do not have spiritual resources. There are a lot of homes just like that. Too many homes have become what someone has written, like motels with restaurants attached. Family members oftentimes just drive in, eat, sleep, and then drive out again at different times. What I wish for, what I pray for on Mother's Day, is that more parents would pour themselves with a new commitment into the relationship with the one to whom they are married, and then go on and chisel the value of that commitment into the hearts and minds of their children, and let their children just delight in seeing their commitment. You see, we are called by God to give our children the very best that we have, the very best that we are, and we're called as well as people of faith to encourage our children by pointing to Mary's son and saying, now follow him as well. And so Jesus knew, for all of the stresses and strains that he and his mother faced together, he knew his mother had given to him the very best that she had, the very best that she was. And on the cross, he knew that and he remembered it. And he blessed his mother with a new relationship and new responsibilities to that beloved disciple of Jesus, as John. From the cross, he saw his mother standing there, and he said, "Woman, dear woman, here is your son." Here's what I know is true today that I want to share with you. It's about time. Time may indeed heal all wounds and other things as well. But I would say to you, time alone can't do that by itself. Time alone can never heal the pain of grief, of the loss of those that we love. Time can't do that. We have to learn often to live with loss in life. And the way to do that is to give yourself to some new cause. Consider today, on this Mother's Day, giving yourself a new challenge if you're still struggling with loss of some kind. Because for the moment you give yourself away to some new task or become a blessing to someone, to others, at that point you begin to break the chains of grief. That must be a plane. That hurts. Terrible feedback in my microphone. But the pain remains. The pain remains when we have loss. The pain will always be there, although it may be duller over a period of time than it initially was. But you do begin to learn how to live with the pain of loss in spite of it. I want to share this story that I found this week about Abraham Lincoln. You may have heard it before. I had not heard of it. It is told of Lincoln that there was an occasion at the height of the Civil War when his personal anguish and the pressures on him were at their height, when they were most intense. At that point, one day, he stopped at a military hospital and he met a young dying soldier. And he said to the young soldier, "Son, is there anything that I can do for you?" And the young man, his eyes glazed over with pain, did not recognize the president, and he said to him, "Sir, I would be grateful if you would help me to write a letter to my mother. I cannot write it by myself because of my wounds." And so the young soldier painfully dictated the words, and Lincoln wrote the letter. And then the young man said to him, "Would you mind signing your name right next to mine so my mother can know that you were kind enough to write this letter for me, because I couldn't?" And Lincoln signed the letter. And it was at that point that the young man who was dying, he saw the president's signature and he was overwhelmed with emotion. And Lincoln then spoke tenderly to him and said, "Son, I want to say it again. Is there anything that I can still do for you?" And the young soldier said, "Would you mind, if it's not asking too much, would you stay with me? Because I know I'm going to die. Would you stay with me until I pass through it? Would you see me through it?" And President Lincoln pushed aside his own pressures and he pulled up a chair and he sat down at the boy's bedside. Night came, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when dawn was breaking, that young man's spirit took flight. And the president stood up. He closed the young man's blurred eyes, his sightless eyes. He whispered a prayer and then he left the bedside. What he had done, he had poured himself out to that dying young soldier. He had seen him through. And that's what Christians are called to do. We're to push aside our own concerns and pour ourselves into the concerns of others. We are called, if you will, to love others to life. And that's what's happening here in this reading today. Jesus on the cross looked down. He saw his mother. He saw the disciple John. And he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." He loved them both into life. And I love the way the Bible puts it at this point. It says it so simply and yet so beautifully. It continues. It said, "From that time on, the disciple took her into his own home." And what I believe that that day, Mary walked away from the cross in the grip of a strong, loving arm, the loving arm of John, and I believe she was no longer afraid for the future. And here's the miracle. Here's the takeaway. God does the same thing for you and me through Jesus Christ. Jesus says to us, give me your life, and if you give me your life, I will take care of you. I will love you into life. No matter what battle you have to fight, you cannot lose. Through all the bleeding that you will endure, you will not be broken. You will not faint, for I will be with you. And I can say to you on this Mother's Day, in my own life and in my own experience, I have learned that I can keep on living and I can keep on loving no matter what because of His promise. I will always be with you. I want to close with this. In his book, Through the Eyes of Faith, Father John Powell, who is a retired professor of Loyola University in Chicago, he tells in his book about his prison ministry. He had a prison ministry for many years, and once a month he visited the prisoners of a state penitentiary. And he describes in the book how difficult that was for him personally, because the atmosphere there in the penitentiary was very grim, it was very sobering, it was depressing. However, on one particular visit, Father Powell had an enlightening experience in that stern environment. An elderly woman was standing beside him as they went through the line to get into the prison, as they passed through the numerous checkpoints, as they were required to go through the metal detectors, as they were required to have their personal belongings checked. And through it all, Father Powell noted how this dear, sweet woman kept smiling warmly and often mentioning people that she met by name. How are you doing? How is your family? Waving tenderly to them and greeting everyone in some kind and loving way in that environment. She was a ray of sunshine and a breath of fresh air in that miserable place. And Father John Powell was just fascinated by this woman. Finally, he said to her, gee, he said, I bet you bring a lot of love into this world with your smiling face and your wonderful words. And the woman replied to him something that he never forgot. She said, Father, I've decided long ago that there really are no strangers in this world. There are only sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers. It's just that some of them I have not met yet. And Powell writes in his book, the lady drew out of me a deep, warm, and reaction of love that I will never forget. And suddenly I came to realize that the woman was doing for me and everyone else what Jesus did. She was loving them into life. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what I believe this day is all about, a Mother's Day, to love people into life. And that's what we're called to do. Pray with me as we close. Oh Lord and our God, we thank you for this story that is so awesome and yet so tender about our Lord and his mother Mary. Remind us on this Mother's Day how you continually call us to have such love that endures all things and that loves others into life. In Christ's name, help us to do just that. Amen.